you for reminding us so well of our values, actually. Really appreciate it. Utilitarianism, it is about the ability to think, and it is about the fact that we are all products of a fabulous public education system, and it's ironic to me sometimes that those of us who are products of it are worried about measuring it so much, so thank you. We have some really fortunate current recipients of our education system with us tonight, and they have prepared some questions for His Excellency. I'm going to call out their names one by one, but please, students, when you come to the mic, would you introduce yourself and also tell us where you're from before you ask your question? I'll ask Samantha Huey to come to the mic first of all, please.
Hi, my name is Samantha Huey. I'm from McGee. I'm in grade 12. And my question to His Excellency is, do you still support the public school system over private, despite the fact that class sizes are larger, resources are lacking, and funding has been cut? I know you answered some of the questions before, but I wasn't expecting your speech.
Well, you know, there's always been a private school system in Canada. Traditionally, it's largely been used by, I mean, this sounds like a joke, but there you are. It's been to a great extent used by people who end up going into law firms and stockbroking firms and things. I mean, that's fine, you know. That basically, when you look at the history of the prime ministers and the cabinets and the governors general and the Supreme Court justices and so on, they basically all come out of the public school system. And that's still the case today. I mean, you really have to look. And anybody that's any senior public position in Canada, you have to scratch to find somebody who came out of the private system. And that's still the case. I mean, Governor General, myself, almost everybody came out of the public school system. So it really does seem to produce people who have an understanding and an ability to deal with the public issues, diplomats, deputy ministers, whatever, you know, and to say nothing of all the writers and the playwrights. In fact, I only know one leading writer in Canada who went to a private school, and that was sort of because of a family problem. Everybody else went to a public school. That I tell you. So I think that it is still doing what it's supposed to do. And part of the reason is that even though there are some problems, the excitement of those schools, you see, the worst, no, I shouldn't say the worst. I don't think it's necessarily the best thing to have a cool, calm, and organized monolithic feeling in school. I think that the tension of difference, of background, you know, money, backgrounds, of everything. This is fabulous. I mean, I'm the son of an army officer. I was brought up on army camps, and in those camps, everybody went to the same school. You know, the brigadier or general's son or daughter down to the privates, and they were from all over Canada. And so from the very beginning, I saw that it was so exciting. And that wasn't a very mixed race Canada, but it was a mixed Canada from in other ways. And it was very exciting to just see that kind of tension of all those differences. And you really had to pay attention to the fact that people came from different backgrounds than you and had different situations than you. And that's one of the most exciting things. You know, getting top grades is great. But in the long run, the other kinds of intelligence and, you know, the basic philosophical question is, are you able to imagine the other? That is the fundamental philosophical question. Can you imagine the other? Because that's what makes the difference between a disastrous bunch of people and a civilization. And I think that the public schools provide an atmosphere and always have, which really helps people to imagine the other. That's a very important contribution.
Thank you.
Eric Chan.
My name is Eric Chan, and I'm from Windermere Secondary School. My question was, what is your view or opinion regarding students with disabilities on improving or enhancing their school experience?
Well, you know, it's there's an organization that I think was more or less invented here called PLAN. Did it come out of Vancouver? I think it did, didn't it? Yeah. Sorry, I'm looking at a friend of mine here who knows more than I do, but. Anyway, I'm quite involved in this organization. I'm going to their annual meeting tomorrow night. And, you know, what we're all talking about, what they're talking about is, you know, how people with disabilities or handicaps or whatever the phrase is, really bring an interesting form of intelligence to the public And I think they can play and do play an interesting role in schools. Now, the fact is, it's going to cost a little bit of money. So what? They're citizens. They have the right to, you know, be treated in a proper manner in a place where they can make their full contribution. And I think what we're gradually going to find is that the disadvantage of this idea of acceleration, that intelligence is about acceleration, that one of our great protections against that is going to be people who have disabilities, who because of the disabilities, whether they're physical or mental, whatever, in a way move slower. But that slowness provides a form of understanding and intelligence which is very valuable to us. It may help us not to make the mistakes we make by thinking that we're going very fast down this road, which is actually a chimney, getting narrower and narrower. Thank you. Incidentally, there's a building in Calgary, which, I'm allowed to say Calgary, yeah. There's a building in Calgary in a suburb, and they have some problems with too many suburbs and things, just keeping on going out. In Shaughnessy, I forget what it's called, the Something Center, and what they've done is they've basically built the equivalent of an old, you know, a Renaissance Italian city, in the sense that it's almost all glass, and there's a sidewalk through the center of it. It's indoors, and it has in it two hockey rinks, a YMCA, a high school, an old folks center, a library, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that what happens is that all these people, you know, the athletes are tripping over the people in wheelchairs, the immigrants are tripping over the old Canadians, and they're in a way, they found a way to get around the isolation of our modern cities, particularly of the suburbs. It's a very interesting thing in terms of cross-pollination. You should see it. It's in Shaughnessy, and it's called, is it called? I don't know. Anyway, you can find it. Ask.
Just want to remind you, can say Calgary, not Toronto.
Okay. I didn't.
Our next questioner is Janice Wong.
Hi, my name is Janice, and I go to McGee, and I'm in grade 10. Okay. Okay, my question is, the Fraser Institute releases an annual report on the performance of BC high schools. Every year, private schools have dominated the top 10 positions, and educators, students, and people from all walks of life have various queries about the criteria used in the Institute's report. Some have taken the report seriously, but at the other end of the spectrum, people just ignore its importance. In reality, can we have a general agreed standard on students' performance at school?
No. I don't wish to be unpleasant about any organization. It would never be. But let's just say that they are the perfect illustration of the ultimate utilitarian approach. And I guess I'm talking about humanism. So the idea that you can reduce all human intelligence to a rather simplistic idea of measurement is not very helpful to civilization.
Lucas Van Leerup.
Hello, my name is Lucas Van Leerop. I'm in grade 11 at McGee Secondary School. And my question is, a lot of people have immigrated to Canada to escape the laws of their country. In a lot of cases, these immigrants are women who come to Canada to gain the basic rights that their original religious governments do not acknowledge. Recently, an Ontario lawyer named Mumtaz Ali suggested that Sharia law be added to the Canadian courts. Now, some Islamic private schools have also demanded that Sharia law be legally applied to their schools. They argue that Ontario Orthodox Jews are able to settle their civil disputes in religious courts, so why can't they? What is your opinion on the subject, and do you think that these immigrants should have the right to incorporate into the Canadian legal system the culture and laws that other immigrants may be running from? And if Sharia law is applied, how will it change Canada's multicultural image?
Well, first of all, as you probably know, a number of other Islamic leaders have come out against it. In fact, I think one of the most seniors actually came out against it. And somebody has been appointed to sort of look at the situation. And I think this is one of those interesting moments when we're going to come face to face with the full complexity of Canadian civilization, the ups and downs. on the one hand, all immigrants come to Canada because there's something they want here that they don't have in the place they've come from. And there's been too much talk about it being economic, frankly, because very often it is social. And very often it's different for the women than the men. And that's not simply, one could, you know, I don't think one should apply that to one particular religious group, because I know the Islamic world quite well, and it has lots of people in it who don't agree with a view of inequality, in fact, the vast majority. So, you know, what Canada is constantly doing is working away at, and so are the individuals at, when people come, they are going to become Canadian citizens very quickly, because that's why they come, and we want them to come to be citizens. And they're going to change Canadian society, and Canadian society is going to change them. It's a marriage. Yeah. And you have to work out what you keep, what you give up, what you give to the others, what they give to you. And this is going to be a very interesting debate and moment. And I don't even think having an opinion at this stage is really what's needed. I don't know what you think, but I mean, I think that we're going to work our way through it. And I think it's highly unlikely that the result would be a situation in which women would be put at a disadvantage. I don't think that the Islamic community would allow it, and I don't think that the Charter of Rights would allow it.
Thank you. You know?
Victoria Marshall.
My name is Victoria Marshall. I'm a grade 11 student from Britannia Secondary. The word that seems to be constantly reiterated is equity, and yet equity doesn't mean equal. And yet furthermore, our school system is based on an equal opportunity school system where equity is further based, which is based upon equity. My question to you is, throughout Vancouver, we are faced with socioeconomic barriers, as large municipalities are. Although the public education is supposed to be fair, by all means, and to a degree it is not fair, what are your feelings towards the allocation of funding for various schools that face economical problems?
Well, I think, it's an interesting thing. These words are also loaded. Equality in Canada is usually used by the majority to oppress the minority. If you look at the history of the word equality in Canada, it's a very dangerous word. And right back in the 19th century, the Orange Order, you know, loved the word equality.
It's dangerous in all societies.
Hmm?
It's dangerous in all societies, when you think about it.
Yeah, perhaps. But I mean, I don't know why it's such a tempting word, and yet when you actually look at it, the one man, one vote argument led by George Brown in the 19th century was really about shutting down the Catholics, you know. So you had to come up with a system where, on the one hand, it was one man and then one person and one vote, but in addition, there were a whole bunch of other things that would balance it out. So I guess it's the same thing with the school system. I think that we have to, that's why I mentioned earlier the problem of fundraising, how easy it is in an upper middle class neighborhood, even if the parents feel distasteful about it because they know what it means, but you know, what does it mean for immigrant neighborhoods? What does it mean for poor neighborhoods? What does it mean for northern towns where this simply isn't possible? So you always have to have financial systems which will allow you to deal with the problems or the difficulties or the challenges or the needs. And that's why I said, you know, if you invite 250,000 immigrants to your country every year, well, you got to put some place the services which will allow them to become citizens. I mean, when I go to Europe, and I say, and they're struggling with this. They've got sort of 7% of their populations who are guest workers, usually is the polite term they use. They were brought in as cheap labor. And now they're sort of second, third generation, and most of them still aren't citizens, and they're struggling with what to do. And most of them are Islamic. One place it'll be Turkish, another place it'll be Algerian, Moroccan. And they feel they're being overwhelmed. And I say, 7%? You know, I came from, I'll say Toronto once. I live in a city like Toronto. It used to be 95% Celts like me, and now we're 35% or something?
Toronto, I don't know.
What about here? What about here?
Wait, in Vancouver?
Yeah.
You're in the minority, actually, here.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, what's the big deal? Well, big silence in the room when you do that. And so then you say things like, Well, you know, you just got to think about citizenship in a different way. You know, you got to think about people. You know that old thing about having a multiple personality disorder? Think of it as a multiple personality order. That got me my biggest silence of the whole meeting. And then I said, well, you know, you're all worried about loyalty, you know, and, you know, people are loyal. So why don't you accept the idea of multiple loyalties? It's really good news, boy. So I think we just have, you know, this is the kind of society we have decided to create for ourselves. It is a very great adventure we have set out upon because nobody else is doing it our way. So we have to be conscious that that's what we're doing and it has certain financial and surface implications. Period. Get on.
Thank you.